This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 245 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, where it is much cooler than it is here, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, about?
Got a new career.
A new career, okay. What as?
Well, I'm swapping sides of the camera, dude.
Oh, you're modelling?
I'm becoming a model.
Okay.
I'm becoming a model. Yeah, so I've been so sick for the last, three or four weeks, and just doesn't feel like I'm getting any better.
Right.
Well, I've called up an agency and said, look, you know, it seems like I'm going to be sick forever from now on. How about I be a before model for you? You know, like for like hay fever adverts, maybe cold and flu adverts.
Right.
And they were up for it, dude. I thought, you know, that's what we need. We want these actors pretending to be sick. We've got someone who's always sick.
Awesome.
I'm in. Yeah, just as long as I can. Unfortunately, I've got two kids I send to reinfection every day, childcare and prep. And the chances of getting healthy in time the next 5 or 6 years is pretty slim.
Yes.
I've got a career for 5 or 6 years. Hang up this photography lark.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. So you may hear a bit of nose blow on, a bit of coughing during it, but I'm just trying to maintain my average. You know?
Right. Living the dream.
Yeah, well, my 6-year-old came down with a version of measles on Friday night.
Ooh!
So I haven't had that. So maybe I can. Yeah, there's another advert there for me. Who knows? Yeah, adult measles. Yes, what happened there before the cream and after the cream? So yeah, it's been a fun week of choking and coughing my lungs out.
Yeah, right.
How's your week? Other than being hot and sticky, how's it been?
Up and down at work. Sort of some days are super busy and other days are super quiet. It'd be really nice if we could just sort of even it out.
Typical for this time of year, though? Or?
Well, normally, no. We'd be flat out all the time.
No.
But having said that, the last couple of years were a bit flat overall, so this year actually feels busier than the last couple of Christmases have been, so that's probably a good thing for the business.
Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It certainly is in our house. We just put up our Christmas tree this evening.
We did ours on Sunday, 1st of December.
Yeah, we were a bit slack. We thought about doing it last week, but we kind of left it till a little bit late to get started, and just went, we'll leave it till...
As long as you get it up before Christmas, it's kind of important.
That's exactly right.
If you've got young kids, it makes a difference. But the hardest part is to take them back down again afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've been known to see February before the tree coming down.
Right. Yeah. No, we normally make sure it's down by Australia Day. So. Yeah.
But it is January 26th. And as we much prefer to call it Invasion Day.
Right, yes.
Let's not talk the politics of Australia Day or Thanksgiving for those in America who just had their Thanksgiving and the Hallmark novelty version versus the reality of the actual event. That's another one of my little pet funnies, the strange things we do in this world. I mean, I'm a sucker for Christmas. I love Christmas, but there's an awful lot to do other than retail shopping and keeping the economy going.
No,
there's not a lot of genuine spirit out there, you'd have to say. Other than, well, there's a lot of spirits being consumed, but
yes.
Different matter altogether. So anyway,
so you're still running your workshops despite your ill health.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, it's just, why should I? Why should the customers suffer? Because I'm, besides, if I don't get to see many people during the week, Bruce.
Right.
So who am I going to complain to? The family's not listening anymore. So, I get a bunch of new workshop customers. I can whinge and moan all day.
Excellent.
And they haven't heard my bad jokes. They haven't heard my my whinging about, oh, my cold, my nose. It's awesome. So, no, hail or shine, dude, I'm there.
Yeah. I liked your tacky dad joke yesterday about your big bear behind.
Oh yes. For those not aware, I bought my 6-year-old daughter a very large teddy bear for Christmas that she'd been wanting.
Right.
I mean, this sucker's huge. This sucker's 1.5 meters tall or something.
Yeah.
So there's the carrying, are you carrying it through the shopping centre? This thing's basically, it's cuddling me. It's the only way to carry it. Nip it in my neck there and give me a little bit of whispers in the ear. So that got a fair few looks. And then, of course, driving down the street, seeing this massive thing in one of the child's seats, I had to take a photo.
Yep.
And, yeah, hence the little bear behind, or the big bear behind, as the case was. Yes, dad jokes indeed.
Yes.
It was like, I came out with another bad dad joke today as well. It was like, did you hear that the accountant from the Teflon Corporation has been caught stealing all their money?
Right. Yeah.
Apparently the police are a bit concerned. They don't reckon the charges will be able to stick, though. Yeah. So I'm that bad groaner.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to talk about this week? Anything excitement?
The only thing that I came up with was a YouTube video of a guy who, at the time, he only had one video on his YouTube channel, and it was how to change your brand new L series Canon lens, you know, 24-72-8, you know, $2,300 bucks worth of lens, one-handed really fast. And he decided that he would do this on a concrete path outside of his house and dropped it.
On video.
Thanks. On video. I just can't believe he actually went ahead and posted the video on YouTube.
Did you see his face?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's probably going to end up being a viral video. You know, people are just, you know, watching it in the thousands. So
I've got a photo of a it was like one of the early Canon SLRs. You know, the early affordable was like a 350D or
right
that had been crushed by an Australia Post conveyor belt machine.
Oh.
The box had fallen, and the camera, and the lens was about a centimetre thick now instead of its full.
Whoa.
And the camera was down to about 2 centimetres. I mean, totally flattened.
Wow.
And it's got more views than of any photo I've ever taken. Mind you, my advertiser was an advertisement for sale, new slimline Canon 18-55 lens and an ultra-lightweight slim 350D. Here's the thing, that it didn't have a single actuation on the shutter, so I could advertise it's unused, as
yes.
It was.
Yeah, it was totally brand unused. New, still in box.
Brand new, still in box. Yeah, I got some offers. Very funny stuff.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, not long after the sort of the uptake of eBay, I started selling A4 paper plane kits on eBay. And do it yourself playing kits. And there was just a sheet of A4 paper, of course, blank.
Yeah.
And I sold dozens of them. It was great fun, you know. 60, 70, 80 cents plus postage. Yeah, a couple of bucks for flowers and a ball. Yeah. It was all in the sell. It was all in the spiel. The people in the bottom for the spiel.
That's excellent.
Yeah, now I did see one guy who was trying to sell toast with the face of Jesus burned into it. But eBay did take that one down for some reason.
Oh, really?
I think he was doing it himself.
He just had a stencil.
Yes, it's a Jesus stencil, yeah.
With a flamethrower.
Heat it up and it's like branding cows. Yeah. A friend of my Uncle James, I'll keep rabbiting on, a friend of my Uncle James Hazelden has a song called Paradelia Now. And Paradelia, right, for those who don't know, is the weird phenomenon of, you know, food and things looking like religious icons.
Oh, okay.
And so he wrote a song about how he's starving to death because everything he picks up looks like something, so he can't eat it.
Right.
Yeah, like his Swiss cheese is too holy, as an example, and yeah, his alphabet soup spelling out parables from the Bible. And so he's slowly dying because he can't eat anything. It's very funny.
Excellent. Now, you put a thing up on the Facebook page.
I did.
Asking what people would like on the Christmas wish list.
Yeah.
Have we had some responses so far?
Well, some ridiculous people out there. I'm going to say straight away.
Right.
Ridiculous people. World peace. I mean, come on.
As
some
if.
Of these people don't even celebrate Christmas. What's the buy-in for them? let's all have world peace for Christmas. Well, again, we don't celebrate it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's our incentive? What's it for us? And somebody wanted to end child slavery. Now, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But how am I getting my kids in a couple of years' time to mow my lawns if that ends? Really?
Well, I guess you just have to pay them, and then it's not slavery.
Oh. But you don't pay them very much, do you?
No. But as long as you pay them something.
So it's more sweat shop than slavery.
That's it. Yes.
Okay. I'm good with that.
No one was saying end child sweatshops. They're just saying end child slavery.
It's slavery. I get it. Now. I see where you're coming from.
It's all in the minor technicalities, mate. It's all in the fine print.
All in the fine print. Let's have a little look here. Our good friend Richard Clark, good friend of the show.
Yes.
List number six, I think he is. He wants a trigger trap. So he's obviously been inspired by your interview.
Excellent.
Before we go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to show my ignorance of the show.
Yeah.
What came out of that interview? Because I haven't heard it.
Oh.
Yeah, did we get any good goss? Is there any sort of exciting stuff? Can we get some freedom?
Just talked to Hire about how the company had started and how it had grown, and you know, it was just amazing that his initial project, which was the... As he said in the interview, he kind of went about it back to front. Normally, people have an idea, and then they go and seek funding for that idea.
Yeah.
He kind of went about it the other way. He sort of started the Kickstarter project before he really had a firm idea of what the product was going to be. Managed to get some funding. And you know, brought some really intelligent people on board to help him with some ideas, and one of those guys was a guy who used to work for the Dyson vacuum cleaner factory, you know, company. He's doing all the sort of the design of the new Red Trap, I think it's called, the new product they're working on. But he came up with all these ideas of, you know, oh, we could have it do this and we could have it do that, and so the idea kind of developed after the Kickstarter project had already commenced. Yeah, it was just amazing that, you know, he was initially seeking, I think he said, $25,000 of funding and ended up getting $75,000, which enabled him to do everything he wanted to do with the first stage of the product. Yeah. And then his TechWiz guy said, you know, we really should do a mobile app. And Hio initially was like, paff. Who the hell wants an app, you know, and very nearly missed the boat, but they got the app out and that, you know, was massively successful. And now they're onto the Red Trap, which is the new product they're developing, which they're saying will be out in the market around about May of next year, May of 2014. And he was looking for $75,000 worth of funding. So basically that was the target, was the amount of funding they got in the first project is what he was asking for as the base for the second project.
Yeah.
That amount was achieved within 12 hours. And at the time that we recorded the interview a couple of weeks ago, he was at, I think, 400,000. So almost five times oversubscribed. So it's good.
Basically, all it is, right? Mm. Like if you've got your camera set up and like an ant sneezes, the shutter goes off. That's pretty much what it does, isn't it?
Say again?
If you set your camera up with it, and it's a sound. It's one of its functions is a sound recorder. A sound.
It does. It does have a sound triggering mechanism. So
if an ant sneezes, the camera goes off.
Yeah, you can adjust the threshold of the sound that triggers it. So it's an adjustable threshold. So, you know, if you're out there shooting, you know, lightning storms and you're relying on the thunder to be the trigger for you.
Well, the lightning's gone.
Well, that's the thing. It depends on how close you are to the center of the storm, because obviously as the storm moves away, then the time delay between the lightning and the thunder is going to render that sort of useless. But I think a lot of people have been using it for doing balloon pops and, you know, glass shattering things. And all those sorts of things.
There is something out there on the market, though, that when you're shooting lightning storms, it activates based on the flash of light, the intensity change of light.
Right.
It?
Yeah,
sure,
okay.
Something's ringing bells. If any of our lovely listeners out there know of the beast I'm talking of, but yeah, there's a tool out there if you do lightning shooting.
Yeah, right.
It within a millionth of a second, it recognises the intensity change in lighting and fires the camera.
Yeah, right. Wow.
If you're a storm chaser, that's a pretty cool tool.
Yeah.
I've sat there many a time trying to press the button just as it goes. It just doesn't work.
No. So, I mean, but there are many other features and functions within the, you know, the Trigger Trap. Well, certainly in the mobile app, and the Red Trap that's coming next year will probably have more features again. So because he's achieved more funding than he was after, as he said, you know, it gives us the ability to, you know, just add more features. So, yeah.
Just you know, taking a stab in the dark.
Yep.
I typed in lightningtrigger.com.
Yep.
Guess what? That's it.
Is that what it is?
It's novel. It's got a novel name of Lightning Trigger.
Right.
So it's
it's like the big photo show.
It's interesting.
What it says on the box.
It's not so hard. Nothing too complicated about that. It's been going since 1998 for this thing. They're up to version 4.
Wow.
Apparently version 4 is twice as fast as the incomparable version 3. Well, if it's incomparable, that doesn't make any sense. If version 4 is better and the previous one was incomparable, aren't they comparing it? Doesn't? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm just tapping the screen. Hello? But here's the thing. Here's what is cool about it, though. It discriminates between intra-cloud and out-of-field views flashes.
Wow.
Which is pretty smart, because, I mean, you don't want it triggering if an intensity changes, but it's off. Angle
outside of the frame,
outside of viewpoint. yeah
that
makes sense, doesn't it?
That's clever.
So yeah, there's a gallery of photos. You know, stay with me, folks, as we rivetingly surf the internet and find interesting things to talk about.
So lightningtrigger.com.
Yeah, they are people. If you're chasing a storm chaser,
yeah,
this looks like the cool tool.
Wow.
Or they've just got, you know, lucky that one guy's captured, you know, a photo just right in each frame, you know. Yeah, you take enough photos, one's going to come out. But no, that was pretty darn cool, actually.
Yeah.
Those guys you pointed to a couple of weeks ago shooting, over the Grand Canyon with lightning over the Grand Canyon.
So that was amazing.
This sort of tool would be right up their alley, you'd imagine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, be able to, yeah. Once again, timing's everything. So there you go. Trigger Trap. Lightningtrigger.com is not Trigger Trap. So it's ShutterSyncPodcast.com, is it, Bruce?
That's right.
Trigger Trap, there you go. I can't find a price on the damn thing, so it's emails from... That always worries me when you can't actually find a price on something.
Next time you get business cards made, I want you to put after your name, URL Ninja.
URL Ninja. Why so?
Well, you know what a URL is.
An Earl?
Yes.
Yeah, the Duke of Earl. Oh, you could be the Duke of Earl. That'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it?
You're a shocker.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to find the price for this damn thing. Yeah, you would think, you know, there's not even a buy it now button.
Really?
Maybe it's because the new one's maybe not out. Here we go. Let's go to the previous one. Of course, they've even got it on a Sony camera. How's that? You can't.
That is weird. There's just an auto toll free phone number, which is an American number.
Yeah, and no
email us for info. Order online. There you go.
Is it? Is that big button?
Store.lightningtrigger.com. There is a link there in the bottom left hand corner that says order online, visit the Lightning Trigger store. Introducing the incredible Lightning Trigger LT4, made in the USA, price $369.
Well, once again, if you do a lot of it, it's.
And the version 3 is $329, so it's only gone up $40 for the new version.
The Optika LTX 80 for about $83.
What's that?
Optika is another brand who make a Lightning Trigger.
Oh, okay. Right.
That's it, folks. Now, research on the go. This is how it jumps from jump to jump to jump. Let's have a look at what some of the lovely folk on our Facebook page of, you know, so we talked about, you know, Richard was talking about Trigger Trap.
Yep.
That's where that diversion came from.
Yep.
He wants a lot. He wants an 85mm 1.2.
Right.
He wants a landscape workshop. Now, we can organise that, Richard.
Yep.
Come to New Zealand with me and Mike Holman in April, end of April, and spend a week with us doing landscapes. There you are.
And have a hell of a lot of fun.
That's a week away from the kids, dude. Think about it, you know? Mm. Try and get that one past the missus, though. And he also wants world peace.
Tell her that's what you want for Christmas. You want the April landscape workshop with Glenn and Mike in New Zealand. for Christmas.
And, let's see if you have world peace or world war.
Yeah.
Our friend Adam Davidson, he wants phase one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Digital back.
Get a
yep.
job first. You have a job and a bike on yourself. Santa's not real, dude. Oh, I should have put a spoiler alert out. Spoiler alert. You can edit that in early, can't you, Bruce?
Yes.
You can edit spoiler alert in. Yep. Santa's not real after.
Adam,
get a job. Earn money like the rest of the world, and that will buy it. But he also wants a 14mm lens for his X-Pro 1 Fuji, which should be.
Right.
Pretty darn sweet, I've got to say.
I've got to say, I'm really liking the look of some of these compact rangefinder-style cameras.
They're sexy, aren't they?
They are.
It's like this Fuji I was using. I mean, it was gorgeous to look at, and it's sharp as a nun's tongue, but
right.
I'll tell you, frustrating as all get out to use.
For what reason?
Well, once again, if you take two or three photographs in a row, you've got an 8-second wait time for the damn card to write.
Yeah, right.
And then that's fine if you're doing landscapes, but no way in the world should a camera in the 2013s, the teens, should have that sort of delay time to it. That's just diabolically bad. But I've just noticed they're coming out with yet another firmware update. I think it's about the third one.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's going to fix that, so keep an eye out for that. Any Fuji users?
Yep.
But yeah, some of those. I mean, I've got to say, I do love the Olympus OM-D series cameras because when I started out back in 1981 with my first Olympus, I've always had a bit of a thing for that shape.
Right.
Speaking of that shape and retro style cameras, just whilst I think about it, Sigma just announced today that they've got a problem with the new Nikon DF and their lenses being able to focus on it.
Right.
So they're frantically working on a firmware update for that.
So it's only affecting Sigma lenses?
Well, Sigma, the one who announced it. So, I mean, I don't know if other manufacturers have got problems with theirs or they're just not saying it. And I know they had problems also with the Nikon 5300 as well.
Right.
But here's the thing. This is what sort of struck me in their press release. It's not so much that, they're going to fix it. That's no problem. That's all good and dandy. They'll have a fix for it. But it's only for lenses that are currently available.
Right.
So if you bought a lens, say, 2 years ago that's no longer being made, you're up that well-known water course with no means of conveyance.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a big concern. I think I've got a feeling we're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like that old saying, you buy a lens, the lens you keep for years, and you just can't change the bodies. Well, maybe that's gonna maybe that's gonna shift.
Well, you would think that being a Sony shooter, I would be lusting after the AE7 and the A7R.
You would think,
but I'm actually quite taken, and laugh at me all you like, with the Samsung NX series.
Really?
Yeah. They're APS-C. They're not a 35mm sensor.
Nothing wrong with APS-C. So
but APS-C is kind of, in my opinion, better when it comes for landscape work because you get more depth of field for the same aperture. But they're an interchangeable lens system.
Yeah.
Samsung have about 30 different lenses that are compatible with it.
Yeah.
And I had a play with one at Dick Smith. Okay, I know it's not a camera store, but I was just there, browsing, doing Christmas shopping as you are, and saw it and had a play with it and thought, I really like this thing, and of course it runs on Android, so that suits me down to the ground, and I don't know. And a hell of a lot cheaper, where the A7, you're looking at a couple of grand for the body, and then you've got to buy all your lenses at, sort of $500-$600 and upwards per lens. The Samsung was, I think it's about $400 for the camera, and the lenses are all sort of around the $300-$350 mark.
I had a very brief play with one at the local Samsung store.
Right.
And it seemed okay.
Okay. Yeah. Was there something about it you didn't like?
It wasn't sexy.
Okay. But did it take competent photos?
I don't care about that.
Okay.
It's this type of camera that I said, I bleated it out to the industry about 5 years ago that we should have been in. This is what we should be making with cameras 5 years ago. But as soon as apps started becoming, and iPhonography started to take off, there was a warning bell straight away. I said, guys, if your compact cameras aren't doing this sort of stuff, or aren't have the ability to do apps, or that people have an open source architecture where people can smarter than yourself and probably with more time and money are going to invest and come up with cool stuff. Then your business will disappear, and guess what? Their business disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the cool thing. It's the Samsung with the Android architecture. We don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I'll give it good kudos for that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So whether or not I'd actually go and buy one, I don't know. But I must say I was impressed with it. With the 10-15 minutes I stood there having a play with it and just looking at the responsiveness of it and the menu system, it all looked like
quite true interest.
Yeah. Definitely did. And given the a third of the price of the Sony.
Yeah.
But I would hazard a guess and say that the Sony was probably not going to be three times as good.
Yeah.
It might have been, one and a half times as good, but it was three times the price. So
interesting. I hadn't actually given much thought myself to a Christmas wish list.
Right.
I reckon I'd like one of those Sony lenses for the iPhones.
Oh, okay. The little clip-on one.
Yeah, because I love shooting with my phone.
Yes, I've noticed.
And I think there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
But some people do, of course. Some people in the industry, I think it's just not on.
Yeah.
But I'd love to be able to experiment a bit with one of those lenses.
Yeah.
But so that could be my ideal. I reckon, I'll tell you, if anyone's out there who wants something, I know I've been going on about this for the last few episodes, but if you want to really change your world, get David Duchemin's bloody download video for 15 hours of fun.
While you're mentioning that.
Oh, no, it's not on anymore.
Oh, is it past, has it?
Yeah.
He dropped the price to $40.
Yeah, it was a Black Friday special.
Oh, is that what it was?
Everything on their site was half price, so it was a good time to jump in and buy stuff for sure.
Yes.
But I'd say at $80, it's still a steal.
Yep. And while we're speaking of deals like that, the Adobe photographer-centric version of Creative Cloud subscription that they reduced to $10 a month up until December the 2nd has now been extended for a further 6 days to December the 8th, which means it'll probably run out the day this podcast comes out. So,
I signed up.
Did you?
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm still.
I've been having play around with one of the new filters on CC is Unblur. Or I can't remember what it's called. I'm crap at this stuff.
Yeah.
But basically, it's for photos. If you've got a bit of hand movements in your photograph.
Yep.
It basically does its darndest to correct it.
And does it work well?
Well, yeah. The only photo I've tested it on so far, which was a touch, a little bit of hand movement, because I do suffer from pretty bad hand movement.
Yep.
It now looked a shake reduction. It's called. I just opened up CC to have a look. Shake reduction. It now has an over sharpened blurry photo,
right?
As opposed to just a blurry photo. So I mean, it's significantly better. I have to say, it did improve it a bit.
It did.
Yeah, it definitely had an impact.
Okay.
But whether that was enough to warrant you moving up. But I said, I think the big problem is if you don't upgrade and jump onto it now.
Yep.
What are you going to do in 2 years' time if you do buy a new camera? Well, there's no raw camera updates for your old Photoshop. There's no updates. You know Lightroom 5 won't be available for long. The next version of Lightroom will be Lightroom CC.
Yep.
And so you'll be in the same boat. You'll be stuck with software which can't read any files from your new cameras.
That's a good point.
So for $10 a month.
Yeah, which will probably go back to $20 a month after the initial 12-month contract is up.
You'll suck it into it. Yeah.
But even so, even at $20 a month, it's still not a bad price. That works out to $240 a year, which is essentially paying $120 a year for Photoshop and $120 a year for Lightroom, which, is still not a bad price, really, when you consider the price of either of those two pieces of software as a standalone product.
Exactly. I mean, if you had to update the Lightroom, cost you about $100 to upgrade from version to version. And you've got that automatically, so there's no more. Yeah, it seems a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah.
And there was some other great piece of wisdom, but you know, so it was a bit unusual for me to come out with. But it's gone to the nether winds.
Okay.
But yeah, so I would. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, the price was $9.99 US.
Oh, okay.
And guess what? It was $9.99 Australian too. That never happens. So we have the same price here and the same price overseas.
Yeah, well, so, maybe that's after they got their wrist slapped earlier in the year.
But something that's just an online download, there shouldn't be any pricing.
Yeah. You know. But you remember earlier this year, like there was this massive furor here in Australia about the price of Creative Cloud. It was some other product. And there was like, you know, everyone was actually, oh no, it was Lightroom when Lightroom 5 came out, and everyone was bitching and moaning about, you know, the price difference between the US download and the Australian download. And it, you know, it sort of made, you know, the today, tonight's and the current affairs of the world.
Yeah.
And I think Adobe ended up getting their wrists slapped over that, and maybe yep, that's why the the monthly pricing on CC is same numbers, yep, even yep, if not the same currency.
Yeah,
so interesting.
Another little diversion from our Facebook list. Mm-hmm. Was it Ren Erin King? She wants a studio with all the trimmings. I think the trimmings go on the tree, Aaron.
Yes. Or on the turkey.
Yeah, on the turkey, yeah. Then they want to go inside the turkey. What goes in the turkey? That's the stuffing, yeah. and she wants a 24, or if not that, a 24 to 70. Well, she probably have that guy's one he dropped on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or she probably have my destroyed one. She can have that. You're going to make a nice paperweight. And she wants a ticket to England to go see a David. I've heard of the guy, David Not On Workshop.
Okay.
And I've got to say, well, that sounds like it's not on for you, Aaron, because it's obviously a lot of money. So that's it's gone down badly. Susan Menace is I never know if you pronounce it Menace or Menace, because it's quite the emphasis.
Yes.
Menace. Yeah. With that growing up, don't you? It's funny, talking about names, just as I was in a shop today buying Christmas presents, and this woman was having these Christmas decoration balls named for her children. They're having them personalised.
Oh, okay.
She says, to me and the shopkeeper, she goes, you know, I never thought when I named my children that they'd have to be spelling their name for their entire life and they'd never be able to buy something off the shelf, yeah, with their names on it.
Yeah.
And one of them was Harriet, which is not that unusual a name, but it's not that common, I guess, to find stuff.
Yep.
And, yeah, of course, growing up, a name like Glyn, yeah, the chances of finding something with my name is, unless you're in Wales, pretty darn rare.
Yeah.
But I said to her, I said, well, yeah, when my daughter was born, I thought, well, yeah, it's a texting kind of world, yeah, SMS. I gave her a name that she could text easily. It's Emily. M-L-E. Yep. Emily. She could just text M-L-E.
Nice.
Or she could just the M, because it's M. It's Emily. So she's got the perfect texting name. And the woman thought that I was quite, you know, quite a good forethought I'd put into that, she thought. I was rather impressed. But Susan is hovering over a four-thirds camera as well. She's been
looking
at which
one?
She's wanted a full. Well, she doesn't know. She's looking at the Olympus EM1's looking good. She said it does look good. It's very sexy.
Mm.
But sexier than that damn Samsung thing. I'd still love to go out and test this EM1 and try the long time exposures and watch the photos develop on my iPhone. I'd love to try that.
Right.
You know, that would just be such a cool party trick.
Yep.
Imagine you're having a barbecue with friends.
Yep.
You've got the camera set up down the bottom of the garden doing star trails.
Yep.
And you're showing everyone your phones. What are my photos up to? And they get sick of it like the first 10 minutes, but I'll have a ball doing that. All I need now are some friends, a garden, and a barbecue. Of the four, I think the EM1 might be the easiest one to accrue. And so here's the thing. She's going that same sort of drama that she doesn't know whether to go for a so-called, and I like the way she says this, so-called full-frame camera.
Yep.
Or go for a four-thirds for its less weight, less mass.
Yep.
You know, does a person go for practical or for the dream? If she was younger, she reckons the Dream would win, and I'm assuming the Dream would therefore be the
35 mil. Yep.
Yeah, and what do I reckon?
The thing is, it depends on what you're going to shoot primarily.
Yes,
I reckon.
Yes.
I like I said, if you're shooting landscapes, APS-C is great because you get more depth of field for the same aperture, and for that reason, if you were shooting a lot of people and portraiture, then I would say, you know, go the 35 mil sensor. You know, because you get that, you know, shallower depth of field.
Look, I would say, look, this. I'd also say, don't buy into the bullshit. You know, at the big photo, whatever they call the photo show this year in Melbourne, the nothing to do with the name, the photography and name show, whatever they call themselves, the digital
playground.
Shows. That's a digital. No, that digital.
That was
playground,
Sydney.
Sydney, which also made no sense.
Yep.
Who wants to play with people's digits? Yes, it's the rectal convention. Come along. The digital play. Going to a bad place there, Glenn. Shush. the digital show, that's what they called it here. And
right.
Olympus had this big stand, and they've done this before, where they have photos printed out of the same subject, done with a high-end Canon, high-end Nikon, and the EM1, and they get people to try and guess which one was taken with the Olympus.
Right.
And we're talking, 24x36-inch prints, big prints.
Okay, yep.
And, try and figure out which one's taken with which. And they're going to say, now, obviously, it's lit extremely carefully and everything's done in the optimum circumstances.
Yep.
And print, but bloody hard to tell the difference, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, right.
So I would say, Susan, the EM1 is a fantastic camera. You do love your landscape, Susan. And I think Bruce has and you love your macro stuff too. So I know Susan. I know our listeners, all six of them, seven of them. One dropped off, but he came back. And so once again, then Susan loves doing macro stuff. So
right.
Once again, that smaller sense is going to help there as well.
Yep.
Same depth of field issue. So
yep.
I'd go to smaller, and especially you're probably going to use it more because it's smaller.
Yeah.
And therefore, you'll get more enjoyment out of photography. So therefore, buy the thing you have the most fun with.
Well, this is what I said to Kath. You know, because Kath was wandering around buying other stuff at the time that I was looking at this Samsung, and she came over and I was still, you know, sort of having a look at it, and we got talking about it, and I said, you know, as much as I love my Alpha 850, you know, the thought of traipsing through the jungles of Borneo with something like this Samsung, which is so much lighter and more compact, as opposed to the 12 kilos of backpack that I carried everywhere, you know, when we were up there.
Yeah.
Much more appealing, you know, concept.
I agree. Yep.
So,
yep.
Anyway.
I have fun with photography, for goodness sake. Don't,
yeah.
don't feel that you've got to compete with the guy next to you with whatever gear he's got. Yeah, as I sit in this room full of just the most ridiculous amount of photographic gear known to man. Oh, I look around in almost shame and horror at the stuff that's never been used. go the practical side, Susan. You'll be much happier for it.
Yeah.
So that's all we've got through in our wish list. Oh no, there was one more, and I've just closed the page down, so I can't find it. Clyde was looking for a Canon 6D. He was thinking a 6D.
Okay.
Would be and I've got to tell you, after having mine for a few weeks now, and it looks exactly the same as every other camera I've ever owned. It's fantastic. No, I've got to say, I did shoot a shot in India at 12,800 ISO in an alleyway.
Yeah.
It was pitch black, shot at 1.4.
Yeah.
And, amazingly low noise for that sort of stuff. So
wow.
It was very, very impressive for its low light performance. I'd definitely give it that.
But yeah, right.
you want to keep your GPS turned off most of the time because it will run your batteries down pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not so much whilst you're out shooting. I think it's remembering to turn it off before you put it back in your bag.
Right.
Because if you put your camera in your bag for like a week and it's still flashing away with the GPS, that's going to run down your batteries. Yeah. I mean, I almost never run out of batteries. You know, and very rarely do I have to ever change battery on my camera. But I have noticed since this one, I've picked up a few times, the battery's been flat simply because of that. So,
right.
A noticeable thing. Now, I came across two things this week, three things that I thought was kind of interesting. One's a new app.
Right.
Phone. It's called OK Do This. all in caps. Now, it's not actually out yet. It's on Kickstarter.
Right.
But basically, it's a photographic social media site, you know, a bit like your Instagrams and so on.
I was going to say, this sounds like nothing I've ever heard of before, yeah?
There's no hashtags.
Right.
And I hate hashtags. I just hate tagging stuff all right. across the board. But this is basically categories and, like, there's Project 365 things, but, like, today everyone gets challenged to photograph a coffee cup, as an example.
Okay.
Everyone shoots and uploads their version of how they see the same subject.
Yeah, nice.
So everyone gets to see other people's artistic vision and concepts, and which I think that's got some merit. Yeah, it's got some interest as a challenge. So this one that might be worthwhile keeping a bit of an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a fantastic little video out of Western Australia.
Yeah,
where an eagle stole a video camera that was trying to record crocodiles feeding.
Okay.
And so this eagle's kind of picked up this camera and it's flying away. So if you ever want to see what's like to be an eagle, what an eagle's wing looks like, that's what you see most. And this thing's flying along with his camera and then it lands and starts doing selfies. If I can get there before I die, I'll get it to you straight away, dude.
Okay.
Cool. So that was a good, once again, all was about a bit of fun.
Excellent.
And you know how I embrace people with talent, my selfless way of, just really seeing how talented people are in the world and how it never makes me jealous or bitter or twisted at all.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is not photography per se, but I did come across this guy who, using his iPad and an app, he painted a portrait of Morgan Freeman from a photograph.
Okay.
It is the most astounding piece of digital art work. Took the guy 200 hours to paint this thing.
Wow.
You've got to watch the video.
Okay. It's not Burt Munroy, is it?
No, Kyle Lambert. There you go.
Okay.
But it was astounding.
Right.
You look at the picture and you would swear it's a studio portrait of Morgan Freeman. It is remarkable.
Wow. Okay, well, those links will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to check them out.
And if there's time for it to arrive out for people who want to put on their Christmas shopping list, there's a new book landing, about to land, about to come, who knows, on if you're a portrait shooter, by a guy called Gregory Heisler, H-E-R.
Oh, yes, his portraits book.
Looks fascinating.
Yeah.
So
he hangs out with David Hobby and Joe McNally and friends. Yep.
Yeah. Once again, stupidly talented people who really annoy me. but get the book, copy and steal everything. Yeah, there's another bit of interesting stuff there. And that's about it for this week for me, my friend.
Excellent.
If anyone's in Melbourne and they're interested, I do have a special deal on for Christmas on gift vouchers on the site.
Right.
But you can buy a full-day workshop voucher for any full-day event in 2014. Normally, here comes the sale, normally $279. This week, up until Christmas, or December 31st, whichever comes last, $200.
Cool.
That's a saving of $79. No steak knives included.
Excellent.
there's a deal. Every Christmas, I do a bit of a deal at the Excellent Stores. I think people want to be buying vouchers for people, so I'll do a bit of a deal over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Excellent.
I've got a studio workshop this weekend. I've got this amazing looking, I think she's Eritrean girl.
Oh, wow.
17-year-old girl as a model, so I'm really looking forward to shooting her. I hope to get some dynamic shots.
Yep.
Because I've been suffering, as we talked a few weeks ago about, what you were like when she came back from your holiday. It's hard to motivate to get to shooting again.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been sort of suffering, face disinterest.
Right.
That's the great time in India, but then you come back to your normal life. And it's nice to be shooting someone who's got a bit of a different look as well, just to sort of keep the creativity going. So stay tuned on the website or the Facebook page to see some photos of her in the coming days.
Excellent. Will do.
Yeah. And next Wednesday, I've got a Dockland City Walk. I've never done a walk down there before, so
right.
Looking forward to that too. It's got some pretty cool stuff down there to shoot. So
Excellent. All right. Now, this episode will be the second last one for the year. Next week, we will record the final episode.
This is the penultimate episode.
That is it. So next episode will be the last one for 2013. And then we'll take...
Stay tuned for the big announcement in 2014 of the all-new, vastly improved ShuddersInc.com podcast.com.
The URL ninja strikes again.
Yeah, we'll wait for the big announcements in 2004. As soon as we figure out what they might be, we'll let you know. And it'll be awesome. Possible.
Excellent.
Either that or just be the same old crap.
All right, mate. You have a good week.
I will indeed, and we should talk to you very soon.
All right, mate. Have a good one. See ya.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
ShuddersInc, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out ShuddersIncPodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@ShuddersIncPodcast.com.